There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 939, May 16th. 2022, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say from climate change to social change, time for two mega champions to focus on performance and turn the page. We shall explain gladly.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Leclerc crashes Nicky's Ferrari at Monaco. LCH says, Merck has made no progress since race one. Will Fernando move over and give Piastri the seat he deserves? Herta wins in the rain. And who in the world is Peugeot Enzo? And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program up on the servers. Just click on the F1 Weekly tab. You know you'll want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very good, Mr. Rogers. Thank you for asking. You know, I'm always looking forward because when there is no Formula One, all is quiet on the Western, Eastern, Northern, and Southern fronts. But this Sunday, we have a race in Casa de Machismo. And before I continue, I would like to take the opportunity of you quoting Lewis about his team. Do you recall last year in a press conference, he made a statement, my team does not make mistakes?
Oh, I do. The foot was in la boca.
Yes, I would like some journalists to remind him of that and see how does it feel now, Mr. Big Short. But, you know, these things happen. So the big question in Viva España is, will Nando get on the podium? His last F1 victory was at this track many paellas ago. In fact, 2013. And Mr. Rogers, I think a few people may be surprised to hear the fastest lap in this race was set by Esteban Gutierrez. Believe it or not. Not many people will be surprised if Max and Red Bull go three in a row. Max was on a hot and steamy roll. Remember the song Steamy Windows from Tina Turner?
My favorite.
Of course. So when he was driving a Toro Rosso, he was gung-ho all the time. You can imagine the new and fresh motivation he feels now that he has a car that won more races than his arch rival at Mercedes last year, the aforementioned LCH, and this year he is 3-2 over the prancing horse. There is chatter on the web that Ferrari used their filming day at Monza and may have tried some upgrades. It was all done behind closed doors, so some are ringing out the bells of conspiracy theory. In Formula One, you never know. Remember the secret Mercedes-Benz Pirelli test in Barcelona some years ago?
Indeed, indeed, where all parties spoke German only.
Yes. For the sake of spicing up the championship, it will be very nice if Ferrari wins on Sunday, especially the man standing on top of the podium is local hombre, Señor Carlos Sainz Jr. The championship so far has been a two-horse race, and with Max now within 20 points of Charles, I will not be surprised if Ferrari makes Sainz Jr. sacrificial bull of Pamplona in Barcelona. They have not had a championship-winning driver since 2007. Binotto and Bois must be feeling the heat to protect Charles' championship lead. What say you, Senor?
Well, it's exciting. I mean, Ferrari loved Charles. Charles loves Ferrari. Ferrari loves Monaco. Monaco loves Charles. Charles loves Monaco. Everybody's hugging. And it's an awesome, awesome, awesome atmosphere for Charles Leclerc. I mean, he's testing the vintages. Everybody's talking about Dijon Prenois, Gilles Villeneuve. He tests Gilles' car at the track. It was all wunderbar. I mean, they're letting him try the vintages. He goes to the vintages. I mean, and then Jackie Eakes is hanging around because he wants to be hanging around Leclerc as well. Anybody who's cool wants to be around Leclerc. And what we have here is what you call being cool around being cool. No, it's fascinating. He's on a roll. He is bigger than big. And what's great about Leclerc being at Ferrari is he gets to try all these vintages. I mean, Eakes was in the 69, Leclerc in the 74. I mean, people are having a good time. Nas, I'm loving every minute of this.
Same here. Did you watch any of the action on TV/YouTube?
Absolutely. And not only that, but the Monaco Club de l'Automobile website was awesome. It was one bitchin' weekend in Monaco.
Yes, sir. It was very nice to see those Ragno Ceramiche arrows, JPS Lotus, Warsteiner arrows. This is very, very important era of Formula One. Pour moi. And speaking of drivers driving other drivers' cars, Mario Andretti is going to drive not the latest McLaren, but one of the recent McLaren at the Circuit of the Americas when the U.S. Grand Prix takes place in Texas. So that is very, very good.
You know which McLaren he's going to test?
Tell me.
Well, it's been fitted with a special horn. Now, I don't know if you remember, but back in the old days in America, when you bought a Mopar Chrysler, like a Super B or a Road Runner, you would hit the horn and it went beep, beep, just like the Road Runner on television. So Mario is lucky to get to test drive the former Fernando Alonso McLaren, and the horn, when you hit the horn, it's GP2 engine. Ah!
Oh, very creative, very creative. I thought you were going to say he's going to drive the 1993 McLaren, which may already have his name on the car, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. It involves fur coats and Concorde flights to New York.
Yes, sir, that fur coat was beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. Once my friend and I, we went to Laguna Seca for an IndyCar race, and there was Sandy Andretti dressed up like you won't believe. We could not believe the way she was dressed up. But, you know, to each his own, that's for sure. Okay, sir, going back to what we were talking about, Viva España Gran Premio, this time, pre-race favorite has to be Max. Interestingly, his teammate Checo is not too far behind him. A DNF for Charles will be very costly. He's lucky he crashed Niki Lauda's car, not his own car. Because if he has a DNF, then he's going to find not one, but two Red Bulls charging ahead. And that will not be a pretty sight. Who else can be a factor in the Spanish Grand Prix? Definitely not the Silver Arrows. And according to Toto Wolff, the performance, or should I say lack of performance, will pretty much dictate the lifespan of the zero side port concept. Sir, you know, when I saw this, you know, you have to try new things to get ahead of the game. But when I saw that, and given the vast resources and long running success of Mercedes in the hybrid era. I really thought this will be the game changer for Mercedes in terms of staying ahead and moving further ahead. But this has gone deep south, so this is not good. And I will not be surprised if this concept is hasta la vista after España. What say you?
Well, we do remember the Williams and the walrus teeth sticking out front. There's been some strange front ends in the past. The Nasser, what can you do? No side pods. The name W13, it was doomed. It was like the Titanic was sailing and everybody knew the ending. Very sad. Well, everybody except Toto. But I love all of it. I think it's exciting. I'm happy for the vintages. Fascinating, 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 Nasser.
Well, as far as the Mercedes team is concerned, all eyes are on the intra-team rivalry. Question being asked is, will George do to LCH or Charles did to Seb? I think once the humping and bumping is resolved at Mercedes, we will find out where's the beef and may the best butcher slaughter the competition. And we never have a problem with that. I know Lewis has gone vegan, but this beef is the performance beef we are talking about. Up until last year, he was medium rare. Now with Bottas gone and George on the go, LCH may be well done by the end of the season. And sir, as far as the circuit is concerned, do you like Circuit de Catalunya?
I do. It's a little windy, but the tapas are outstanding.
And you know, it's a nice location. It's not too far from Barcelona city center, and there is a train service that goes there. And I've been to this track a few times, and I really enjoyed it. And of course, in history, it will be remembered as the track in heavy rain where Michael Schumacher took his first Grand Prix win in a red car. It was quite a performance. And of course, that famous scene of Senna and Arnage coming down inches away and sparks coming on. It's very, very impressive. And sir, you know, once upon a time, I believe it was 2008, I was at the Spanish Grand Prix, and I think it was on Saturday, Esteban Gutierrez gave me a ride to the hotel. The amazing thing was, and I had mentioned this back in when it happened, I don't know if you remember this, when I got in the car, there was a young Mexican journalist who was an F1 Weekly listener in Mexico City. And believe it or not, he asked me if I was El Clarko. And I had to disappoint him by saying, I could never be so lucky.
Muy machismo.
Yeah, that was interesting. And I remember when we interviewed, remember when they had the IndyCar race in San Jose? We interviewed this, or at least talked to this Canadian racer, Daniel Morad. And he also told me he listens to F1 Weekly. In those days, podcasting was a new phenomenon. So it was nice to meet people who were listening to us without knowing.
I like it, Nasser. Now they just don't listen.
Well, I hope some do.
My mom.
Okay, sir, you know, you were talking about Historique. This event, Monaco Historique, that is, the event is held every 2 years and is very high on the bucket list for me. And this year, Max Verstappen was on hand to watch his championship rival do what you just mentioned. And I think Brembo is getting the blame for the crash because apparently there was a problem with the brake disc. So you have to blame Brembo or Hitco or Carbon Industries.
Well, what happened was this is a privately owned car by Methuselah Racing, and they apparently decided to save a little money and they went to Napa Auto Parts for the brake parts.
Not even to Mako?
No, Mako did the paint, but, and it was only $99.99.
Very good, very good. Okay, sir, what else is going on? Is there anything else you want to say about the upcoming Grand Prix?
You mean the one that Fernando's going to win?
Who?
El Machismo.
El Machismo. His fate will be decided, according to Alpine, at the British Grand Prix. You know, I was very surprised last time when you said he should retire. He should really do that. But that Alpine is not going to be a competitive car this year. And if it's not a competitive car, I don't think it'll be rattling the cage of Red Bull and Ferrari next year. He should. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the fame. I think he should give room to make room for Piastri. What do you think?
Well, I think for sure he should make room for Piastri. But the biggest thing that's really bugging me is these F1 champions are not seeing the big picture. Fernando, LCH, Vettel, they should go ahead and call Raikkonen, and they should start a little club, Los Machismos. And they could have a club. You remember the Amber Room by El Macho Flavio Briatore? Well, they could do something like that. They could still be on the F1 circuit. They could party. And I'm telling you, they could make a lot of money being cool. So that's what I see in the future. Because, for God's sakes, I don't want to watch Mark Martin, you know, languishing in 10th place, trying to beat Ocon. It's just not very interesting. I want to see Piastri making some mistakes, learning his skills, and becoming a future machismo. We need to step aside. Come on, folks. You can't take the Geritol forever. So, Fernando, go home to your mujer.
Yes, sir, I have to agree with you. They have nothing to prove. Okay, moving on. Somebody who's trying to prove something is Nyck de Vries. He will drive for Williams in free practice one in Barcelona. Currently, he is racing in Formula E for Mercedes. In his karting days, he was the next big thing. Everyone, myself included, thought he was on his way to F1. Then he entered Formula Renault, a 2-liter series that produced Kimi, Ricciardo, Hamilton. Nyck took 3 years to win this basic entry-level series, and despite being managed by Anthony Hamilton, papa of you-know-who, that pretty much drowned his chances of entry into the Piranha pool. Now he's under the wings of Toto, and Toto has put him in Formula E based on him winning the Formula 2 championship, which I think he achieved in his second or third year, but he had a very impressive season, I have to say. And let's see if Toto can put some money behind him and put him in Formula 1. I think for any Dutch driver, it will be very hard to get sponsorship in Netherlands because everybody is going gaga. Everybody's going Dutchy on Max. And who can blame them, to be honest with you? And talking about the old guard, ex-Grand Prix driver Mark Soler has expressed opinion that Seb will be MIA from FIA's top championship next season. I think Seb can go with Lewis to Queen's Box at the Wimbledon final wearing his underwear on his pants. As we all know, high culture is always appreciated by European nobility and royalty. Can you imagine Lewis and Seb holding hands and walking up to watch the Wimbledon finals?
I can. Not only that, but they would be spreading the gospel about Soylent Green.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, sir. Time has now come for a motorsports mantra, which we haven't done in a while. I think we've gone PC, so we need to change that. Time now to talk about climate change and social change. Four-time world champion Sebastian... Oh, I'm sorry. May I have your express written consent to proceed? Send me the text.
I understand. It has been sent.
Ding! It's signed PDR, but thanks anyway. Four-time world champion Sebastian Vettel appeared on BBC show Question Time on Thursday night. And this is what he said. I quote, "Obviously, Germany is very dependent on Russia and now potentially in trouble. What do we do with it? Is there going to be an embargo? How do we go forward? What do we do if Russia turns the tap off? A lot of questions, but the truth is that we should have tackled these dangers and threats already a long time ago. We should think of energy like peace energy or freedom energy, which is renewable energies. end quote. And Mr. Rogers, I note with interest the term freedom energy. Sounds like he had some grits with Devia in Miami. Remember the freedom fries?
That's true. Freedom fries, Libya, Clinton, airspace. It all comes back to me really fast, Nasser.
Very good. Now we come to 7-time world champion Lewis Carl Hamilton. I am really looking forward to the Spanish Grand Prix press conference to see his 4 watches on his hand, as he mentioned in Miami. And you know, speaking of this, and this is him talking, I'm not making this up. He's having this crusade against this clampdown on jewelry because he was quoted as saying that he has a platinum piercing on a private part. Now, obviously, we don't want to go deep into details. We don't even know what they are and we don't want to know. But what can I say? Anyway, here is a guy whose family sacrificed so much to make him successful. Papa worked 3 jobs just to keep him in karting, and that is very, very commendable. So he knows the value of hard work, dedication, and commitment. These are the values he should be preaching to his people that he is fighting for instead of pointing fingers. We are living in the 21st century. The world we live in today is not the deep south of the 50s. Not saying that mentality does not exist at all. Opportunities are available, you just have to work for it. World champions like Keke Rosberg and Nelson Piquet lived in their racing vans to make their dreams come true. Danny Sullivan, as we all know, drove a cab in New York and went from gopher to driver for Cantirell in Formula 1 before spinning and winning the Indy 500 in 1985. Of course, these gentlemen, 7LCH, have the right to their opinion and the right to express it. But there is a time and place for everything. Right now, I think the focus should be on improving their performance and get back on top where they belong as far as motor racing is concerned. Now, after their driving days are over, Sepp can join Greenpeace full time and LCH can do his fanfare for the common man by hanging out with Harry Winston in his multi-million-dollar penthouse in Manhattan or Monte Carlo. And he has one in Colorado also. And that is today's motorsports mantra. Your 2 French francs on this issue, sir?
Absolutely wonderful, Nass. Keep up the good work. You're absolutely right. Nass, back to you. Outstanding. Outstanding. I'm sure you have an outstanding motorsports mondial. I am very, very thirsty after mentioning the Prince Albert, so why don't we take a quick break, and we'll be back after this brief, wonderful message.
Hi, I'm Carlos Sainz, and you are listening to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the earth, and with the greatest, the wonderful, the synonymous machismo of them all, the encyclopedia, Nasser Hamid.
Oh my God, thank you so much. I may have to go to the diamond store to look for some piercing for you. Thank you so much. Sir, IndyCar racing from the road version at the Brickyard. Did you watch that race?
Unfortunately, some of us have to actually go and work on Saturdays. So no, not only did I not see it, I wished I would have seen it. I forgot to record it. And yes, I'm a loser, Nasser.
Well, you're not a loser, but it's available on YouTube. And man, very, very impressive performance from Colton Herta in winning the race in changing condition. And first race in the rain for cars with aero screen. And some drivers are okay and some are not. Third with visibility, but different opinions are expected. And I really enjoyed the race. And they also had Indy Lights and other series. So this is good. And sir, thanks to Frontier Airlines, I'm flying on Memorial Day weekend on Saturday to Cincinnati, Ohio, which I've done the last 2 years, and then from there I'll take a car and hurts my way to the Indy 500. I already bought a ticket online from the Indianapolis website, and so I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, today I find out that we're not working on Friday. If I knew this, I would have bought a ticket for Friday. But these things happen. And but I'm really looking forward to the Indy 500. Elio Castroneves will try to become the only driver in the history of this race going on since 1911 to win it 5 times. They're calling it Drive for Five. Would you like to see him win, or would you like to see Danica Patrick take the checkered flag?
I'd rather see Danica Patrick throwing her breast implants into the Talladega Forest than listen to Elio Castroneves.
Oh boy, very, very deep, some deep thoughts there. Okay, and now we come to MotoGP from the Le Mans Bugatti circuit. As always, tremendous dicing for victory. Paco Bagnaia led, but then came under pressure from Enea Bastianini and crashed out shortly after losing the lead. This was win number 3 in 7 races for Bastianini. His bike and overalls are in beautiful Gulf colors, even though they are not sponsored by the oil company, which was founded many moons ago by Paul Getty from SoCal, also known as Southern California. Jack Miller was second and Alicia Espargaró third, and sir, it was brought up a few times on the broadcast. The first two were Ducati riders, third was Aprilia. Very rare that you don't see a Honda or a Yamaha on the podium, but it did happen this time. And sixth was man who could do nothing wrong before he got into some accidents, Mr. Marc Márquez. Marc Márquez is an incredible, incredible racing talent, just like Valentino Rossi was. And sir, sayonara from Suzuki. Suzuki has told Dorna, and Dorna is a Spanish company, the FIA version of for two-wheel competition. And they are saying, not so fast, Boudreaux. You have a contract with us. You cannot run away. So let's see if this will be settled peacefully, or Suzuki will just go, and then we will see Jacoby and Myers in Madrid get busy. So we'll keep an eye on this. But I would love to see Suzuki. More manufacturers in a series, the better it is. So let's see what happens. Some very interesting news. Young American success in England. British Formula 4. Young American kid from New York of Nigerian descent, Ugo Ugochukwu, took his maiden single-seater victory over the weekend, and this was only his second racing weekend in single-seaters. He is in the McLaren Driver Development Program and is a recent World Karting Champion, and we've been talking about this kid for a few years now already. And Mr. Zach Brown was at the race to see his protege do well. And you know, Ugo was racing against an Italian kid who goes by the name of Kimi Antonelli, and that kid is in the Mercedes program, and he is also doing very, very well in, you know, Junior Series, Formula 4. He's in a different series, and I just hope that these kids do succeed and come through the system. You know, good thing is they are not in Red Bull program, so they won't be going from Formula 4 to Formula 2 next year. So let's see how it works out. So these are the two names to watch. Kimi Antonelli, Ugo Ugochukwu, and there is another kid who's on my radar who's doing very well, and I just found out who he was last year. Is this English kid, Oliver Bierman. Very, very talented. And we'll keep an eye on him also. Now something, Mr. Rogers, you're a man of fun and good times, kind of like Vijay Mallya. So here is some information that you may or may not like. It was on a website called dailystar.co.uk/sport/F1/Formula One Drivers Women Hamilton. Okay. Now this is what's happening here. The article is basically what if men/racing today's racing drivers were women. Okay, and I went through the story, so I'm bringing this up. They have done a pretty good job of showing images of what today's F1 drivers would look like if they're a woman. Now, I have to say, some of the drivers are looking cute, and you have to check out Lucille Hamilton. She's a hottie. And despite her age, Fernando Alonso is looking machismo. So, if you have a few spare moments, please check out dailystar.co.uk and you might some get giggles. Okay. And what else we have? Formula E race was in Berlin, race one. Winner was Eduardo Mortara. Jean-Eric won was second. Third was Stoffel Vandoorne. Race two, Nyck de Vries. We talked about him a few minutes ago. He was the winner. Mortara was second and Vandoorne was third. In the championship, Stoffel Vandoorne, 111 points, leads over Eduardo Mortara, 99 points. And it is very interesting, you know, Stoffel Vandoorne, just like Lewis and Nico Hülkenberg, won anything and everything but his crime, for which he will pay for the rest of his life without parole, is when he came to Formula One, he came with the GP2 engine, and even worse, his teammate was Fernando Alonso. And that will pretty much do it for most people. Except for one, okay? But that's another story. And Eduardo Mortara, Italian-speaking Swiss, very talented driver. I think when he came into GP2, Apedos, as we used to call, I think he won a race in his first or second weekend, where most good drivers take a year or two to get a win. And Roger Penske's son, Jay, runs a team. It's called Dragon in the series. His drivers are Brazilian Sergio Sette Camara and Italian Antonio Giovinazzi. Okay, now we come to our final question of the day. Has the jury reached a verdict as to count one, who will win the Spanish Grand Prix? Count two, will Machismo be on podium? And count three, will George Russell again rattle the cage of his teammate? As for me, I would like to see Carlos Sainz win his first Grand Prix on home soil. If not, I would like to see his teammate win the race to spice up the championship. But I think the answer is blowing in the windmills of my mind, and they are headed towards Amsterdam and Rotterdam for a Dutch treat. Thank you for listening. Bye now.